welcome everybody to High Tech on the Low. Seon, how are you this morning?
I'm doing well. How are you?
I'm doing very well. I'm very excited to have you all the way on Zoom from Colorado. We're sitting here with Seon, who is the CEO of Advanced Autoponics and co-founder, I should say, of Advanced Autoponics. And we're going to get into that whole world in a second. As always, we are sponsored by Front Team and JB Upscale. Front Team with its 3,000 members all looking to connect, and JB Upscale being a marketing and design firm here in Tel Aviv. And as always, feel free to throw us a like, follow, or view, whatever it is, to just give us a little support if you like what you're hearing this morning. So, Seon, I'm here to understand what is Advanced Autoponics and what you guys are doing in the world of hydroponics, and what even is hydroponics. So maybe you can start with that and let's move down.
Yeah, so, you know, hydroponics is a way of growing plants without soil. So essentially you're growing plants directly in the water, right? And then you provide the water with the nutrients. And the idea behind that is, in soil, if you look at, like, you know, big plants, let's say, they go further and further and further down to find more and more roots. But in hydroponics, as soon as they touch that nutrient rich water, you know, they're like, oh, I'm good. And then they're like, hey, I don't need to grow any more roots. So then they start focusing on the foliage. So a lot of times you get smaller roots, but bigger foliage. So
basically hydroponics. Yeah. So like hydroponics in that sense is a lot more of kind of, I guess you could say, creates like a better type of plant, or a plant that yields more fruit, or more, you know, I guess, I mean, I know you said foliage, but like in some idea, you know, where would we see this used and kind of a benefit in our society?
Yeah, so you could get more fruit. You get, you know, if you're depending on the type of plant you're growing, right? So essentially more fruit, I guess fruit is the typical terminology used across plants. So
right, for anything that's, you know, growing off the plant, right, I guess, you know, so that's what I'm kind of at. Right, so you could get more fruit. What else could you get from hydroponics that, say, like traditional planting doesn't offer?
So you can get, so the, you know, the fruit is also can be larger because, you know, it's focusing, you know, that all of its resources on the fruit now. Your fruit can be larger. At the same time, you know, since your water isn't going further and further down in the soil, you don't have to water as much, right? So you save quite a bit of water. And that's a huge benefit of hydroponics as well. So
does the water itself too, when you say, you know, nutrient rich water, is it specialized water, or is it just water, you know, in a sense from the tap, you just put it there and any, you know, and you can just kind of grow whatever you want?
So there's two ways of doing that. Some people use water from the tap. Some people used, you know, highly filtered water. And then essentially what they do after that is they add the needed nutrients to the water. So, you know, like magnesium, nitrogen, things like that is then added to that water to make it that nutrient rich.
And where are we seeing this today being used? Like, is hydroponics in pretty heavy use around the world, or is it mainly in certain industries?
You see it around the world. Typically, you see it in certain industries, such as what they call small leafy greens. So you'll see lettuce, you know, things like that.
Spinach,
yeah, right. Kale,
right.
Strawberries are a big one now. So
little less leafy, but a little more fruity, so we like that, right? You know.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, for sure. So it's basically used primarily, though, in agriculture and, you know, growth type situations. It's not just used, let's say, you know, in like urban design or in city planning or something like that.
Correct. Yep.
Okay, cool. So now, you know, kind of focusing, you know, now we kind of have an understanding, I think, a bit of what hydroponics even is, because I have a feeling a lot of people don't even really know what that means. Like, they probably heard it, you know, once upon a time, like, oh, yes, hydroponics, you know, and they didn't actually know what it meant. So now that we understand what it means, what are you guys trying to do at Advanced Autoponics that makes you guys a game changer in your field?
Yeah, so here at Advanced Autoponics, what we essentially did is, you know, if you look at large plants, you know, we just mentioned small leafy greens that are common for hydroponics. Well, we, you know, we kind of took the idea and we're like, hey, what if we want to grow large plants, but we want to automate it, just use one set of sensors, you know, create a very homogeneous root environment for these plants. What do we do? So we started, you know, playing around with concepts, designs, a few years ago. And then we, decided like, all right, let's put this, let's trial this. So we trialed a few prototypes and then we found something that we really thought would work well. And we're like, okay, this is a hit. This is working well with large plants and we can use one set of sensors, right? Because the idea is to reduce that cost basis if you have multiple sensors, like what they do with Botto buckets currently with larger plants or 5 gallon buckets,
They
essentially
have
what
the
those are.
sensors right now, basically, is what you're saying in the industry. They have like sensors out there that basically like, okay, now it tells me change the water, the water's not good, fill the water up or whatever it is.
Yeah, so you have like your pH sensors, your conductivity sensors, and you have other sensors people use like dissolved oxygen, and this is basically flow sensors. It's giving you an
Sure.
idea of the environment, but with larger plants, they typically held them in like a 5 gallon bucket type of design, and the problem with
Okay.
that is that you kind of don't know how that root environment is for those plants, right? So we kind of designed a system where we know the root environment for large plants using one entire system, if that makes sense.
And from that, I can basically have an understanding if my plant is healthy or needs certain types of nutrients more than other nutrients, or what does it give me that kind of insight?
Yeah, so it tells you like, okay, is my, if your pH is out of whack, right? If your pH is too high or too low, well, it'll tell you, and then you'll get, you'll tell them the plant, but sometimes you're like, hey, why is my plant like this? So with
Sure.
our, I'll get into that a little later, but essentially we'll tell you, your pH is too high or too low, but we'll tell you, how to fix it instead, right? Because people might not
Okay.
understand that terminology of pH or conductivity. So instead, we'll give them instructions or we just totally automate that process, right? So that they don't have to think about it kind of out of mind, out of sight.
Okay. So then
So
it's like the whole hydroponics becomes a lot more easier for them to actually manage, right? Because at the end of the day, now I don't need to know, I don't need to be a chemist, right? I don't need to be a botanist. I can understand, okay, boom, health, the roots are a little acidic, right? Today, right? They're in an acidic environment. We need to change that up a little bit, right? And now I know that that's what I have to do, but I don't have to care about if it's pH, 4 or pH 10, right? I don't have to care about it.
Yeah, exactly. And one of the unique things about our system is, when we're thinking about this, we're like, hey, if, Jordan's in Tel Aviv and we're here in Colorado and he calls us and he's like, I got this problem,
Right.
well, we can help you from here, but in a different way because we can actually change the root conditions from here. So we're able to raise and
Whoa, okay.
lower. Yeah, we're able to raise and lower the water level, right? So, you in our system, you can germinate the system directly from here, because we can raise that root level and I mean that water level, excuse me, for that seed, right? So we can get that germination going, we can change the water temperature from here. We can do all of that and then over time, Jordan's like, hey, these are starting to grow. We can slowly decrease that water level, give that those nutrients, I mean, give those roots more, air, nutrients, and then we can actually get those roots to grow in a direction and a space that we want them to grow, all remotely. So that's the whole idea with our system.
So it's
So.
kind of controlling like a mix of things, right? It's controlling the water, it's controlling the growth environment, it's even controlling the trajectory of the plant in a sense. Now I'm gonna come with kind of a hard question here.
Yeah.
So I'm sorry that it's early in the morning for this, but like, why should I care? Like, what does this make my life better as Jordan, right? To have this technology. Why would I care about this?
Yeah, so essentially, and we'll get into this too, but like the idea with our system is that it's supposed to be meant for buildings, right? So it's supposed to
Okay.
be that you'd put it in. So if you look at soil plants today and where we put them in buildings, right, we put them on places that are easy to get to. So, ground level. But with our
Right.
system, maybe you want some pothos hanging down from higher up, the ceiling, or, if you're looking at an airport or, kind of a dying breed, but like a mall or something like that. and you have tons of plants.
Crazy to think that it's a dying breed, too, that the malls are a dying breed. But yeah, you're right. Okay.
You know, some of them are doing all right. You know, Cherry Creek out
Yeah,
here,
you're right.
Colorado's doing well. You know,
Yeah,
they
definitely.
have
Yeah,
their market
definitely.
tuned in.
For sure, for sure. Okay.
But you know, so if you look at that idea, right? If you have hundreds of plants and you're like, okay, well, let me hire a guy to manage these. Well, you know, he might have to get up high or he might have to get
Right.
into weird spaces. So the idea with having this level of
And he may not be
automation,
an expert, right? Like he may not
yeah,
be
and
an
he,
expert actually at dealing with this. He might just know kind of at a, you know, trim the plants, make them look nice, maybe change the, you know, the soil out if he needs to, or add some water, but he may not know like the in-depth things that you guys are teaching him about. Okay, it's in a bad growth environment, you know, change the water in a sense.
right. So
Okay.
essentially, you know, if you give us a call, you know, boom, immediately response, right? So we can change those conditions from afar. You don't have to wait, you know, for somebody to come through and maybe he gets stuck in some Tel Aviv traffic or he's at lunch or he's hanging out with his buddies and he's like, man, Jordan just called me, guys, I gotta leave. And they're like, come on, you just did this the other day. You know, with our system, you know, if even if he partnered with us, he can like check everything and be like,
Right.
oh, okay, I see what's going on here. We'll just change these a little bit, change these. So everything it can be done from afar, but at the same
Right.
time, if something goes bad with our system, like a part goes bad, well,
Right.
our system can continue to, excuse me, to grow that plant for
Interesting.
days, depending on
Okay.
the environment. So it
So
allows
it's like
us.
automatic growth in a sense, basically. It's automatic growth and automatic care at a sense, right? Because at the end of
Right.
the day, you don't necessarily need the person there. Now, what if like I, you know, am a person, you know, in maintenance of a building, let's say, right? And I am in charge of these plants. Would this help them in, I don't know, understanding also where to kind of put their resources, like maybe on certain plants versus others?
Yeah, so, you know, with that, we kind of give these maintenance people, you know, kind of, well, we kind of take that responsibility, you know, and decrease it essentially. Because the whole idea of our system is to decrease maintenance, right? So you look at plants today, people are like, oh, I gotta water this. Did I water that one yesterday? Or,
Right.
you know, so the idea behind
Right.
that is to decrease overall maintenance, but at the same time, for the maintenance staff, they can understand, you know, their usage, so their water usage, nutrient usage, things like that.
Okay.
So that can, you know, they that can help them as well. And then, you know, we can, with the data that we collect, we can kind of give them an overall picture, like, okay, this system over here has had these X issues in the last year, this one over here. So they can kind of pinpoint and focus on which ones to concentrate their time to. So,
Okay. So what about like other, you know, like external factors that might impact, you know, plant growth, like, I don't know, you know, sunlight, air quality, things like that. You know, does that also impact what you guys at Advanced Aquaponics are able to provide, or is it all kind of comprehensive?
yeah, so the idea with our system is that we'd like people to use natural sunlight, but you know, that's not always a possibility. So what can be done is that lights can be incorporated. Now they don't have to be with our system, you know, being more of a look and feel, a luxury kind of look and feel for the environment. We can incorporate lights, but they don't have to be like grow lights. They don't have to be always on. They don't have to be crazy powerful, right? They
Okay.
could just provide some additional lighting, essentially. And that can be tied into our system. We're actually talking to a team here in Colorado that works well with our technology where we can set different parameters through our system. And we can calibrate that to say, you know, what time do we want it off and on? And how does that work with, you know, as the world rotates and we're getting different, you know, longer days, shorter days, you know, we can turn the lights on and off depending on the length of the day, you know, if it's summer or winter.
For sure, for sure. No, I mean, it sounds like that at that rate, it sounds like you guys can kind of integrate into systems, even if you don't have it yourself, right? So,
Right.
Now the other question I kind of have is, obviously this is kind of, you said you had like a problem, you built a prototype, then you got it working, and now you're solving some issues. Are you guys, basically working in different locations right now, or is it still very much in the development phase?
No, so we just did an install here at a place called Green Spaces. So,
Okay. Sounds very topical, you know?
interesting name. Well, they have a lot of plants in there. So, we kind of
I would say.
So we brought, and to hit on that point, Jordan, in workplaces, the second most wanted element after sunlight are plants, right? So
Right, I
you
mean it makes sense, right? You go to any office space, there's like even just the ficus in the corner, you know what I mean? Like just the thinking of the most like 1980s boardroom type thing, you know what I mean? There's a ficus, right? And
Yeah,
if not, at some
exactly.
places they even have it on the secretary desk, they have like some flowers or a little bonsai tree or whatever it is, right?
Yeah, exactly. So, now, excuse me, now that I've sidetracked us, I forgot your original question there, but
No, I was actually just asking, like, did you, it sounds like you guys have like some
Oh,
pilots that are
right.
going on at least.
Yeah, so we did an install in Green Spaces, and we're kind of using that. So one of the things with this technology, since it's so new and we want people to understand how we can incorporate this into buildings, right?
Right.
Is that we're going to have an interactive UI there. So people can come up, they can look at it, they can see what's going on with the plants. If they're a little more techie, they can get into the conductivity, pH, and understand the water circulation, or if they're just curious to what it does, we're growing a bunch of monsteras over there, so we'll have a nice UI to kind of explain what it does and learn a little bit more about hydroponics and how it works and things like that to kind of give the general public some education around hydroponics, because a lot of times things like this, I'll just like jump in, start talking about hydroponics, and good thing you started with that, because people are like, wait, what's hydroponics? And I'm like, oh man, I forgot. Sorry, let me back up here. So yeah. So and then in
Well, that's,
with
you're in the world so much,
yeah.
Sam, at the end of the day, it's your thing. So when you start talking about it, you're like, yeah, of course hydroponics, right?
Yeah.
But then in a sense, the little guy like myself may not know about it, right? And may not know why I should even, like why I asked you, why should I even care? But I love that you're doing that with the UI, because there's also an element here of the engagement factor. Now, do you think it's also could have some potential drawbacks? Like it's gonna make people like touch the plants in weird ways, or like do something maybe negative to the system, or what do you think?
Potentially that's always a factor, right? That people could mess around with the plants and whatnot. But it's gonna be a touch screen that's kind of away from the plants.
Okay, sure.
And
Makes sense.
now that you mentioned that, we'll add in there, please don't touch the plants, that pops up at the top or something. And then we'll
Don't really,
put
I'll just take 10% of the company. Just don't worry about that, okay?
we'll put Jordan's idea on the side.
Exactly.
And yeah, so that is a potential that people could do that. But I mean, the plants are pretty resilient. They're large monsteras. We grew them from seed originally. So,
Okay.
if people did do that, it'd be okay. But yeah, we would want to avoid that. And then, kind of going off on that is that now we're looking to do an install in Madison, Wisconsin.
Okay.
At a at an office building there. So somebody's like, I really like this technology, I want to put it in my office. So now we're working on the little details about that, and we got little things going on here and there. It is a little bit longer of a cycle to get them in, because buildings, as you probably know, Tel Aviv is, they're always got skyscrapers going up there.
Exactly. Takes a while. There's codes I'm sure that you also have to be dealing with. And not only that, you have to actually deal with the guy who has to want to bring it in, and you have to sell it to him. So obviously it's a long sales cycle. Have you guys been also basing your company off of revenue, or have you had investment?
No, so everything is funded by the team internally. So, we haven't
Wow.
had any investment. We are, open and, looking for that idea, but as we progress, we've decided, you know, we'll just keep, you know, using our funds internally to kind of keep rolling the project out. And as, you know, we start to gain more traction out there, more clients, and start to build that revenue model, you know, we'll attract those investors who at first, you know, may have been like, well, where are you guys at? And so, you know, we're
Right.
working on our fundamentals as the company grows. And once we get to that point, we can invite, you know, these investors back or new investors to kind of show them more about, you know, where we've progressed over, you know, the last year. So.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, it sounds like, you know, at that point, you guys are really bootstrapping it and trying to kind of find your rhythm is how I would describe it still.
Yeah.
So, one of the other question I had for you is how big is the team? You know, you're mentioning that you have this huge team. How big are you and where are you guys?
So, you know, the team is not that huge, but we got four people on board. So we
Nice.
have them distributed. So you have myself here in Denver, and then you have some guys out in New York City. So that's how the, you know, and so we got people with a financial backgrounds. So, you know, accountants essentially who've dealt in the world with working with other startups and with large corporations about their finances, accounting practices, and things like that. Then we have other individuals who, you know, are more techie. So, you know, if they've worked with tech teams, they've built out tech teams before. And then you have, you know, somebody like myself who's an electrical engineer background, done a lot of factory automation. So, you know, using all these resources and these people, you know, we've kind of come together to create this team. So we bounce ideas off of each other and things like that and kind of progress. And, you know, me not having that financial background, you know, engineers, they just like to give me more money, I'll do this, you know. So
Right.
having
Let
those
me
people,
tinker, you know,
yeah,
exactly. You know.
let me give me some more time, give me like 100 million, let me just do this, you know, type of thing.
Right.
So,
Right.
you know, having the accountants and things like that, they, you know, put a focus on ROI. What's the ROI for the customer? So we kind of focus on those points. And then, so it's a well-rounded team, I'd say.
Well, that's awesome. It also sounds like you guys are therefore building a business model out of this because, you know, that is something I think a lot of people forget about is that as much as this could be cool technology, you know, you have to have a business. So if you're coming in and you're saying, okay, cool, we made hydroponics easier, that's why I asked, you know, why should I care? Like, what does it matter to me on the day to day? But if you're telling me I can make office spaces better, I could maybe even, I don't know, contribute to some sort of like, even I'm just thinking off the top of my head, some urban agricultural type, projects that are, you know, in building spaces. I mean, it's like a win-win for everyone. Now, what would you say has been like the hardest part about selling this idea to people?
Well, you know, we're a new company, and a lot of people also who have tried hydroponics in buildings, they've been kind of, you know, burnt by the idea. Because, you know, if you look at today's hydroponics for plants, it's all for food, right? So, you know, you're growing anywhere from a few months to 6 months. It's a very short, you know, length of time to be growing something. And with plants that are going to be in a building, well, you have to look at a timeline of years, right? You know, so a lot of people with how hydroponics are grown in little plastic, you know, trays and things like that, it just doesn't have the longevity. So one of the big things that we focused on internally when testing is testing things for years. So, you know, we've had certain components just run nonstop 365 days. We want to see the failure point of it. Okay. Is it going to be able to withstand what we are requiring of it? You know, some of these parts haven't been tested like that, right? So it's our duty to ensure when we're saying, you know, this is a product that will last and it's built to design, it's supposed to last the longevity of the building itself. Well, we're not just here to say that because we're salespeople, but as engineers, we want to ensure that that's possible, right? So we test our components to that level, ensuring that they work for as long as, you know, the building will stand. And if something
That's
does
amazing.
fail, yeah, how quickly is it, you know, replaceable? How can we replace it, you know? So That's another
It also
idea.
seems like this could have like a kind of long-term, short-term effect too. Like some of these, you know, if you can have this long-term system there, then it can actually impact growth of food and fruits and whatever it might be, right? Because at the end of the day, if I can have it there forever, then it just makes my life easier.
Yeah, and so that's another idea, Jordan, that we're trying to spin off to people when we talk to them. You know, if they're looking at putting it in a restaurant or they have a large building, well, we've kind of coined this term. It's probably out there somewhere, but we're calling it decentralized farming, essentially decentralized
Okay.
vertical farming, where the idea is that if you install our systems, well, maybe you do want to, you know, provide a little bit of your kitchen or your people, your staff with a little bit of food, right? So not only are we doing a look and feel, but hey, why don't we grow some tomatoes in this? Why don't we grow some peppers in this? Our system's capable of that, right? So, you know, maybe, you know, people as an off time, you know, when they're hanging out at the office, they can walk up and they can check the plant or, you know, maybe a little bit more employee retention. They're like, hey, what plants do you guys want to grow this year? You know,
Exactly.
summer's coming up or it's winter's coming up, and you know, Tel Aviv isn't much like this, but think about the middle of Wisconsin, somebody growing peppers in the office and handing them out, and they're like, let's throw a salsa party. So we're not
Right.
trying to take away, you know, having a farm in your building, but we think it could help offset that. And if you look at vertical farms, the amount of lighting you need, right? Well, what if we distributed these systems around different offices and they all use natural lighting, right?
Right.
So you can kind of provide a little bit for each building, each person, each company in a way. So
Well, it
that's.
sounds like a paradigm shift right now in terms of how we, you know, view sustainability and kind of urban agriculture. Now, we're unfortunately getting towards the end of the podcast, and there's so much information here that really can be valuable for people, but I'd like you to end on a note because, you know, you are in a very unique space where you're actually, you know, a guy kind of living this right now, the bootstrapped entrepreneur's reality. So what's your advice for other entrepreneurs out there?
I mean, I think the hardest part is when people have an idea, they kind of toss it out there like, hey, Jordan, you like this idea? And people are like, yeah, but you have to go after it, I'd say, you know. And when I started this, I used to go around and I'd be like, man, how am I going to get past this problem? How am I going to get past this
Right.
problem? And, you know, a year or two ago, I was asking people like, man, how am I going to patent this, right? I'm like, this costs a lot of money. I Google how much patents cost, things like that. And then slowly, you know, you talk to other people. And I think a big thing would be getting in that space, talking to other startup founders. So Colorado has a big startup community, and you can go to these happy hours, grab a beer with these guys, and you can bounce ideas back. And people kind of have been through different stages, and they can kind of give you help, right? And kind of give you like, oh, you know, have you tried this software? Have you tried this? This can
Right.
really make it easier for you. You don't have to do this. So the idea is to constantly, you know, don't give up, just continue it, pursue it. And eventually your problem that you had today or tomorrow is no longer a problem, and you have another problem. And then eventually you kind of get to this level where there's consistently issues. But, you know, if you look back at it 2 months ago, all those problems you had thought of are gone, and now you have a new set of problems. So, you know, you're
Right, I was gonna say
consistently
you have
growing.
the hydroponics to put the water out, or sorry, to put the fire out, right? So you have the
Yeah.
water, you can just put it out the different fires, new fires emerge. I love it.
Exactly.
So Sayon, I really want to just say thank you so much for coming on the show. I think there's a lot of value here. I definitely we didn't even get into the full scope of what this type of hydroponics thing could do, though we did touch on it. And I encourage anyone who's listening, you know, wants to learn more about hydroponics or even wants to learn more about your venture, please reach out to Sayon, and we'll obviously have his contact information in the episode. So Sayon, thank you so much, and especially for getting up so early. Appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you, Jordan. Thanks for having me.